Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast and Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much. This is episode 1227B. The Bees are always great guests, and we have one of my favorite guests of all time, favorite people of all time. He helped me sleep better and learn a lot about sleep. He is the sleep doctor, no doubt about it. Good Night was his first book. I still have a copy in my library prominently at home. In fact, if we did the podcast from my home, I have a pile of books that I consider the best books of all time behind me. There are probably 40 books of that, but he's got two of them. He is Dr. Michael Bruce. As I said, he is the sleep doctor. He's got a new book out, Sleep, Drink, and Breathe. But before we get to that, I wanted to say that we are brought to you, as usual, by Life's First Naturals, the makers of two things that don't have anything to do with sleep unless you have pain or gut issues. They are Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, and see the randomized double-blind controlled trials of how these help you keep a better gut, especially that Bovine Colostrum. It's one of my favorites. Helps fight upper respiratory infections, which we all need at this period of time. I actually stopped taking it 2 months ago. I ran out of it. And guess what? I got my first colds that I haven't had a cold since the year 2000. I haven't had any colds, maybe for 10 years before that too. But I stopped taking it just because I ran out of it. And I should have called the company. I should have signed up and had it delivered faster. But I got too busy for a little bit of time, stupid me, and I got an upper respiratory infection. I'm back on it, and my respiratory infection's getting better. That's lifesfirstnaturals.com, Bovine Colostrum, and Truebiotics. The other sponsor is Longevity Playbook, our own website where you can find out how easy it is to sign up for the free newsletter. And remember, we'll have that AI coaching program that we use to help people stay younger longer available for you within 2 to 3 months as we're winding up the development and testing of it. But let's now talk to the man on sleep. He is the author of The Sleep Doctor's Diet Plan, Lose Weight Through Better Sleep. He's also the author of, and I may get this wrong, Michael, but you also did a book called The Power of When.
That's correct.
As I remember it, that we had you on. My favorite book, despite The Power of When and The Sleep Doctor's Diet book, my favorite book is your first. I thought it was a great book, Good Night. And the other book I do have behind me is The Power of When. But it's called Sleep, Drink, and Breathe. I have a subtitle here that I can't read on air, so I don't know, since I didn't get the book yet.
Yeah, so the subtitle is Wellness is Too Effing Complicated.
That's what I thought.
Because I think wellness has gotten so complicated. One of the things that seems to be happening out there is people don't know what to do. If they're not involved in a program like one of the U programs, which, by the way, I admire and I recommend to a lot of my patients, I love that longevity playbook, so people should definitely be checking that out. But a lot of people don't have a place to start. And if you're wondering, hey, do I need to get a green drink? Do I need to do a sauna? Or do I need to sleep? I'm voting for sleep.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So what I call the six pillars, sleep is one of them, along with brain wellness, physical activity, stress management, of course, is number one. And food choices, portion size, and time of eating is number two in my book. But sleep's right up there with the 40 things you can do for brain wellness as well. One of those is sleep, so we get two counts on it.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people have trouble. What I'm seeing in the elderly population is people having trouble falling back to sleep.
Yes.
When they get up to urinate. So I've got a whole population of people who could use your services.
You get it.
And I'll tell you how we do it. And it's probably the wrong thing, but they're able to fall asleep the first time easily. And then they get up and their mind goes crazy over all the things they have to do either the past day, the next day, or they worry about their grandkids. They worry about parents if they are taking care of them. So it is a stress moment for them. What do you do for those people?
So this is a great question. And believe it or not, Dr. Mike, this is the number one question that I am asked. Doesn't matter the age group, doesn't matter the demographic, male versus female. Everybody has this one problem, so I'm really glad you asked it. It's going to take me about 3 minutes. I'm going to get through an entire discussion of this. I'm going to describe the biology and exactly what I want you to do. Because as you know, and I think you believe this as well, we like our patients to be informed and understand what's going on with the biology. So here's how sleep really works. Sleep follows your core body temperature cycle. So as your core body temperature goes throughout the evening, as it gets later at night, your core body temperature rises until it hits a peak. Usually that peak is around 10, 10:30 at night. Then your core body temperature has to drop. In order for it to drop, that is a signal to your brain to release melatonin, right? Remember everyone, melatonin is that key that starts the engine for sleep. It's not the only thing that we need. However, if we ain't got no melatonin, you ain't sleeping. So your core body temperature continues to drop. But at some point in time, if your core body temperature doesn't go north and heat your body up, you go hypothermic and you die. And that's not good for anything. So we know your body starts to heat up. Guess what time, everyone, that happens? Somewhere between 1 and 3 a.m. to every human on Earth. I want to be super duper clear about this. Every single human on Earth has this situation where their core body temperature has to rise. When it happens, you wake up. Here's the issue. 95% of people fall right back to sleep. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that happens. A lot of people are not alert long enough to even recognize that they're awake. So they kind of just squinch, roll over, and they roll back to sleep. But I want to be clear, everyone wakes up. However, there is a population of people where this is the problem. They are not able to return to sleep. So let's talk about this. So number one, nobody should feel that they are at fault for doing this. This is biology. There is one thing that a lot of people in our demographic, Mike, would probably be best served with, which is if your doctor allows for it, restricting fluids for approximately 1 hour before bed. By doing this, you slow down the need or the want to urinate, because that usually is one of the problems. Now, I want to be clear. I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little on the radical side, but I don't want you to take it the wrong way. But if you don't have to, don't go pee. Let me explain. Okay. Number one, when you go from a lying position to a seated position to a standing position and you walk across the room, guess what happens to your heart rate? It elevates. Most people don't know this, but you need a heart rate of 60 or below to enter into a state of unconsciousness. So when you get up to go pee, to be clear, you are raising your heart rate. If you can avoid this, it would be fantastic. Now, I want to be clear. If you got to go, please go pee. But if you don't actually have to pee and you think to yourself, I'm up, I might as well try, that's a terrible idea. Stick where you're at. Number two, don't look at the clock. I am not so foolish as to think that you're not going to look at the clock, but I'd really like it if you didn't, because here is what is going to happen. You're going to instantly do the mental math and you're going to say, it's 3:30 in the morning and I have to get up at 6. Sleep. And you're going to try to force your brain to sleep. Dr. Mike, in the history of time, no one has ever forced themselves to sleep. No one. It's impossible to do. Your energy's going in the wrong direction, right? Your heart rate is increasing because you're anxious trying to force yourself to sleep. And that's not what your body needs to do. So number two, don't look at the clock. Now, let's be fair. You've probably already gotten up to pee and you've probably looked at the clock. Now you're back in bed. Michael, what do I do? So right here, right now is a great opportunity to learn how to do a breathing technique, which will do two things that will help you tremendously. Number one, it will distract you from what my wife calls monkey mind. She gets monkey mind if she's up in the middle of the night thinking, okay? This technique stops that and it lowers your heart rate below 60. Now, I have to be fair, I cannot take control for this thing because I didn't invent it. A guy by the name of Dr. Andrew Weil invented this type of breathing, and it's called 4-7-8 breathing. It's exactly what it sounds like. You slowly breathe in for a count of four, you hold for a count of seven, and you push out for a count of eight. Let me explain why he invented it and what it does for us. So Dr. Weil was tasked with helping the Navy SEALs. So if you're a Navy SEAL and you're a sniper and you're shooting downrange, if your heart is beating too fast, you can actually change the trajectory of the bullet, right? So they had to teach these guys and gals how to lower their heart rate so they could fire in between heart rates, which pushes their heart rate to below 60, which is our magic number of getting people to a state to get to an unconscious level. The technique was developed in a very unique way. Slowly breathing in for a count of four. What does this do? Most people, it turns out, are shallow breathers. We use our entire lung in order to transport oxygen all over our body. When people are shallow breathers, only using half of their lung, it requires their heart to beat twice as fast to distribute the oxygen. But when you actually breathe deeply and fill up both of your lungs, you actually lower your heartbeat. And so by slowly breathing in for a count of four, hold for a count of seven, and then expel for a count of eight, what you do is you completely deplete the lung. Now you slowly breathe back in. And guess what? You're completely using the lung because there's no other space left, and your heart rate starts to drop. The other thing that's happening is you're counting, which means you can't think about anything else but the numbers. So it's really doing two things at once. It's distracting you and lowering your heart rate. You have to get through 10 to 12 cycles of doing this. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I use this technique myself when I have this problem. Yes, the sleep doctor on occasion does not sleep well. I am a normal human just like all the rest of us. But when I do this technique, sometimes I get lost. While I'm doing the 4-7-8 and I forget what round I'm on. You need to get to 10 to 12 rounds in order for this to work. So I've come up with a little technique to teach me what round I'm on. I have my fists right next to me. I don't clench them hard, just lightly. And when I do 1-4-7-8, I stick out a finger. Then the second 4-7-8, and I stick out a finger. By the time I'm done, I've got 10 fingers out, which means I've done 10 cycles. And now I'm breathing, my heart rate is low, my body has a much greater opportunity to enter into a state of unconsciousness. I then move to a second technique, which is counting backwards from 300 by threes. One of the nice things about this is it's so complicated, you can't think of anything else, and it's so doggone boring, you're out like a light. It also occupies your brain. So what happens is once you stop breathing, what we don't want is the brain to kick into gear and you start to worry about your finances or your grandkids or whatever. So this counting backwards from 300 by threes allows you to do that in a steady state of lowered breathing and lowered heart rate, and you're done. Now, there's a final thing that people can do. If they try these techniques, Michael, I've been doing this, it's a half an hour already, and I'm still not falling back to sleep. What should I do? It's probably not the worst idea to get up and get out of bed if it is causing you some level of anxiety. If it is not causing you any anxiety to be there, there is a wonderful technique called yoga nidra. This is basically lying in a quiescent state in bed, in the dark, nothing on, and it is actually rejuvenative. To be fair, it's not the same as sleep, but if you just lie there, let's say for an hour, that's probably worth about 20 minutes of sleep. So people don't need to get anxious about, oh my gosh, I'm lying here, I'm not sleeping, this is awful, everything bad is going to happen to me. And then the final thing is acceptance. You've been there before. You've probably been in this exact same spot at least one, maybe two nights ago, and you survived it just fine. Your brain is not your brain at 3 o'clock in the morning. It tells you all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's probably not that accurate. So understanding where you are, and then maybe even giving yourself a break. You know what? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn how to practice some meditation, or I'm going to start a gratitude list in my head, or I'm going to think about pleasant thoughts and happy things that make me feel good. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If you want to get up and start moving around, go for it. Good news is you're not going to be lopping years off the back end of your life. But if you start to follow this kind of recommended protocol, you'll be surprised. Within about 2 to 3 weeks, you're actually not going to be waking up in the middle of the night again.
So let me tell you the variation on that that I use that works. So instead of the 4-7-8 breathe, I do a double deep breath with a person having their finger on their belly button. One of the things we don't do is breathe with our diaphragm enough.
Correct.
And so it gets you to focus on your belly button. It does the same thing for heart rate. So you take a big breath on top of a breath. And again, 10 is what does it. And you can tell me whether this is right. In people who really worry about it, we give them a 5 milligram or suggest that they take a 5 milligram dose of melatonin right as they're going to sleep rather than 2 hours in advance. So right as they're going to sleep. The other thing that is very similar that we've come up with empirically, so I am supporting what you said, is we obviously get patients to move all the lights in the bedroom to red lights. But in addition, when they get up to pee, we try and get them to get back to bed as fast as possible, because there's almost a logarithm relationship. The longer you're up, the less likely you are to get back to bed early. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, since it is cool that makes a difference, what should the temperature of the room be? And should it go down during the night so you sleep better?
Great question. And so the ambient temperature of the room should be somewhere in the high 60s, low 70s, so 68 to 72, something on that range, if you can afford it and if it makes intuitive sense, that's a good range. But don't forget, there's also a microclimate under the covers, right? So a lot of people will put on flannel pajamas, they'll have big comforters. And so what happens is initially, we want to be sleeping in a cooler environment because it helps with the cooling, right? It's the same reason we don't exercise right before bed, because it increases that core body temperature and makes it difficult to sleep. So I would tell most people that you want to wear as few clothing as possible, right? Because you don't need extra layers on here to change your body's ability to thermoregulate. And if you can keep the room cooler, and also you should maybe even consider changing your sheets and comforters to something that makes a little bit more sense for whatever season that you're in. I think that makes intuitive sense as well. There is one situation, though, that I think happens that I think we should address when it comes to temperature, and that's for many of our biologically female listeners, which is menopause. So when menopause hits, it's like the internal thermostat has gone completely crazy, and all kinds of things are occurring during the night. Believe it or not, there are gadgets and gizmos out there that you can buy, that you can put underneath your sheet, that can actually change your core body temperature. It can heat you up or cool you down. They are quite expensive, and there are newer ones coming out, but I have developed an easy one that costs nothing for people that they can utilize if they want. So what I tell people is get a plastic bottle of water, stick it in the freezer, then pull it out once it's frozen and put it into one of those athletic or tube socks. You know what I'm talking about? Those white ones. And then you take one and you put it on the outside of one hip and another one on the outside of the other hip. It's like having your own little personal air conditioning unit in the bed with you, so you don't freeze out your bed partner. And it works really, really well for folks if temperature turns out to be a big deal.
Well, you have given us a great course on why people should get the book. That is, this has been, just shows you the depth and quality of knowledge that Dr. Bruce, the sleep doctor, has. Again, the new book is Sleep, Drink, Breathe. And the subtitle, Wellness is Too Effing Complicated. You've heard about how to make sleep, at least getting back to sleep, a little simpler. Dr. Bruce, we know each other for a long time. I can't thank you enough. Superb session. May our listeners sleep better. Now, I have one more just question. Since one of my patients, I have two patients who have used sex as a way of going back to bed.
I've asked this question so much in the last 2 days, it's hilarious.
And I was wondering, I didn't know that. Someone else must have the same two patients. Anyway, when one partner says they can't sleep, they wake the other partner up, have sex, and then go back to sleep, and they both sleep better.
Right.
And obviously, they're going back to sleep after sex is a normal thing. But I don't know. I never knew it was going back to sleep if you wake the other partner up.
So it's interesting. And there's a lot of ways to talk about something like this. So number one is, this is a great question, and it's something that we should absolutely ask. Now, one of the things that historically we've seen is when men have an orgasm versus women having an orgasm, men have a tendency to feel very sleepy afterwards, and women don't necessarily have a tendency to feel sleepy. In many cases, they have a tendency to feel energized afterwards. So oftentimes there's a mismatch on occasion with this idea. If you are female and post sex or post orgasm, you do feel relaxed and not like ready to get up and go, then it's probably a decent idea. For most men, this works, and it works reasonably well. However, one of the things I would recommend is, why are you bothering to wake up your partner? When you wake up your partner and then you have sex, and then that person wants to hang out and talk and cuddle and do all those other things and not necessarily go back to sleep, that might not be the situation that they wanted to participate in.
As we said, Dr. Bruce's new book, again, is Sleep, Drink, and Breathe. Wellness is Too Effing Complicated, if you will, is the subtitle. But Michael Bruce's name is Bruce. He is the sleep doctor. Thanks, Michael. Remember to go to the A segment. I did a summary of the latest longevity meeting finding and why interleukin 11 may be a biomarker you'll want to follow to see how you're aging. Thanks to our sponsors, LifeFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, and Bovine Colostrum, two things I routinely use. Go to their website, LifeFirstNaturals.com, see the randomized controlled trials, and maybe you'll choose also to use them routinely to help you stay younger for longer. And of course, Longevity Playbook, which will give you a lot of good ideas. Nothing as good as the sleep doctor Michael Bruce gave you today. Thanks again. This is 1227B. We'll be back with 1228 next week. Hope you are too.